Blog Talk Radio.
Tony Hodge is the owner of Financial Benefits Incorporated. The show today is It's Your Money. That's the episode. It's Your Money. So, Mr. Tony Hodge, welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. How are you doing tonight, Angela?
Oh, that is great. I'm doing great. I hope you're doing well, too.
Yes.
Tell my listeners a little bit about your company and what you do, and also about your educational background.
All right. Well, I started in the financial service industry back in 1981. I started with Prudential Securities after I finished a four and a half year stint in the military. I went to Florida State while I was in the military, finished school there. Then since I've been out, I've attended Oglethorpe University, where I received my CFP, as well as I'm a Life Underwriting Training Council Fellow, which gives me the education and training as it relates to guidance in the area of financial planning. I'm also currently working on my Certified Life Underwriter and Certified Financial Consultant designation through the American College, and various awards as far as the industry is related over the last 32 years.
Okay. All right. So, listeners, I hope you heard all that.
I was going to say my company started after 5 years of being with Prudential, and my father would always teach me that if you work for somebody by the hour, all you ever are going to be paid is by the hour. So with that being said, I took my 401k, reinvested it, and started Financial Benefits, and it's been Financial Benefits ever since.
Okay. All right. And you're located in Georgia, right?
Yeah, we're located in Atlanta, Georgia, downtown on Peachtree Street in Colony Square, 1201 Peach Street in Atlanta.
Okay. All right. Okay. What are employer-sponsored plans?
An employer-sponsored plan is a plan in where you work for someone, and it's what's called an ERISA plan, and that means it's just government regulated. So the employer is sponsoring the plan for you to invest, say, in a 401k, which are, that's a more common one if you work for just a general corporation. Then there's your 403b type of programs if you're an educator or if you work in a hospital type of facility or nonprofit type of facility. So those are your employer-sponsored plans. And generally, the employer will have a percentage of the money that they will contribute and allow you to contribute a percentage as well. And it's just mandated through ERISA, which is the government guidelines for those type of plans.
Okay. What is the age for tax income if money is withdrawn early?
59 and a half, and that's a stiff penalty. If you have to go into one of those programs and decide, well, I need to take the money out, but the IRS says because you put the money in for taxes, they want you to pay a penalty for withdrawing them out. And there's some companies that have mandated penalties of 20 and 25% if you try to take the money out.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. How should a person who is self-employed handle their personal retirement plan?
Well, first, you said the key word, they should have a plan. And that's what we stress and have stressed for my time I've been in the business is what is the plan? And what I try to encourage clients to do is sit down and look at all their assets, all of their liabilities, and what is the timeline of those liabilities, meaning if you want to retire, say, at age 65 and you're a business owner, will your mortgage, your car payment, business debts, will you owe for machinery or whatever the circumstances, will you still be paying those type of debts in retirement? So how much do I need to save if I'm trying to generate enough money that if I'm making $100,000 now and I need at least 70% of that money to live off of in my retirement years, what is that real number I need to save and still cover all my expenses and not reduce the lifestyle that I'm accustomed to? And that's the biggest thing, start a plan.
Okay, why is planning for retirement important?
Well, the biggest reason that people negate is when we save for retirement, we're thinking whatever that pot is, that's going to be the magic number, and I have this amount of money when I go into retirement. But I think with all the current news about the economy, I think everybody will agree, once you hit that magic number and decide to retire, that that pot of money has not been taxed. So if you currently are working and you look at the tax bracket and you're in a 25% bracket, I try to show clients that 25% today on your money may be 30, 32% when you're at state, federal, and together, when you go to retire. So that pot is not as big as you think it is. So without a plan to subsidize it and have some type of vehicle in place that's going to pay out money to you tax-free, and there's several vehicles that can be established to do that, you will find, as most people find when they get into retirement, a shortfall.
Okay. What about retirement Social Security? A lot of people, when they retire, end up having to go back to work. Is this because of lack of planning?
Exactly. Statistics have shown, and this is just a model that the financial industry has used since I've been around, that if you take 100 people, 53% of those people will need to have some type of work going on in retirement. It's only about 5% of people that retire that are able to retire and not have to go back to work or have some type of subsidy via your children or welfare system or Social Security if it's still around. There's going to be needing some help because a great percentage of Americans fail to plan.
Okay.
More so than the ones that do.
Why should most people have another source of income after retiring? You kind of answered that already, and I know it's being repetitious, but like people should, are you suggesting or saying that people shouldn't depend solely on Social Security?
No, ma'am, because if we think about, I'm now 53. I remember when I could buy a dozen eggs at 63 cents. I just came out of the store, a dozen eggs for $2.18. You're in retirement. The cost of living is going to continue to rise where your income generally doesn't keep up with it. So you need to have that's the stress right there. That's why we have to plan. If we don't plan, we plan to fail.
Okay. What is the percentage of taxes that most people pay, the percentage? Do you have a statistic of...
See, that's a hard one because you have to look at your exemptions that you haven't taken out, meaning you have interest for your house, you have children. So those things vary, and there's a tax table that's established annually to determine where you fall in that table as to the amount of taxes you will be paying. So to say a specific amount on an average minimum wage income person, and that's somebody making from, say, $25,000 and less than $100,000, it's going to be around 25% of your income. But a good rule of thumb is to take your income times 110%, and that's the amount of money that you should be withholding into taxes. And if you use that formula on a regular basis, you generally won't owe. Might not get much back, but you won't owe.
Okay. All right. What is the definition of AMT, or alternative minimum tax?
What is
What is the definition of AMT, or alternative,
it's alternative minimum,
tax?
Alternative minimum tax, but that's generally for high wage earners. And when I say high wage earners, you're generally going to have to be in a six-figure income where you have to start worrying about alternative minimum taxes. And it's just a way for the government to get additional tax revenue out of you to answer that question. But if you're just in, like I said, the earlier tax bracket, I explained, alternative minimum taxes normally don't come into play.
Okay. What are marginal tax brackets?
That's your brackets that I said are established annually. And when you look at those brackets, they can be anywhere from 10 to as high as 33%. But it all determines on your income and then your deductions or exemptions that you have.
Why should people consider taxable income in their retirement planning? Because a lot of people don't do that. I'm in my 40s. I'm 42 to be exact. And I'm asking, why should people consider taxable income in their retirement planning?
Because
really included that. I hadn't included that in my retirement, so, you know.
Well, let's look at your situation then. Hypothetically, let's say you have a $500,000 saved, and that's all taxable income. You're now 67 where you can receive 100% of Social Security. You go to say, well, I want X amount of money per month to live off of based on my lifestyle, but now it's taxable. And the bracket you're in now is a 30% tax bracket. Now, you plan to retire, but 30% of your money has just got depleted. That's why you need to consider it. Where does that difference now come from? Because I'm retired, and this is it now. Unless we get a cost of living raise from inflation, Social Security, or there's some type of inflation builder inside your retirement plan, that's it. So if you don't consider the taxes, IRS will help you.
Okay. What are some tax reduction strategies?
Well, believe it or not, you can set up what's called an individual retirement account. That helps reduce your immediate taxes while you're working. But once you get into retirement, if you have what's called a Roth IRA established, or even cash value life insurance is a business that's really overlooked by a lot of people because they only think about the death part of it. They don't think about how a life insurance contract can distribute cash to you on a monthly, semi-annual basis, and you never are taxed on it because you've already paid for it with after-tax dollars. And in some instances, if you're self-employed, there's a tax code 162 that will even allow you to deduct the payments through a bonus structure while you're working and write it off and steal the money out tax-free in retirement. It's one of the only vehicles you can do that with, and people overlook it all the time.
Okay. Well, I don't have a half of me. I know you said hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
I wish.
Well, you got a plan, and you will.
Okay. What are the two categories of tax favorite investing and savings?
The two favorite?
Two categories of tax favorite investing and savings.
Well, there's so many of them because you could be taxes and bonds, life insurance, Roth IRAs. And when I say Roth IRAs, what people don't understand about IRAs, Roth IRAs, those are just the IRS's name. You can put mutual funds in them. You can put stock in it. You can put annuities in it. Any type of vehicle. CDs can go into it. CDs are a vehicle you can use. It all depends on the individual's risk tolerance. And that's why as advisors we go through the planning process to understand what the client's needs and desires are, and that's how the product is used. It's just not a one-size-fits-all answer to that type of question.
All right. We're going to go to break. It's 15 after. Listeners, you listen to Mr. Tony Hodge. He is the owner of Financial Benefits Incorporated. The title of the show tonight is It's Your Money. So we're going to listen to some commercials, and then we're going to go back and talk to Mr. Tony Hodge.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. attention, our creativity and attention to detail turn your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists, and makeup artists, daily itinerary, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweaver.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, that was the commercial break. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Tonight, the guest is Mr. Tony Hodge. Mr. Tony Hodge is the owner of Financial Benefits Incorporated. Mr. Hodge.
Yes, ma'am.
What are some strategies for homeowners? I was looking at your website and everything, and I'm just curious, what are some strategies for homeowners?
As far as we're talking to purchase a home or we
to
say
purchase
strategy.
A home or like if somebody has a lot of credit card debt, why would a home equity loan be good?
Well, of course, debt is never good because you can't save if you're in debt. But a home equity line, you have to take in account what the total credit card debt interest is. And if you have multiple cards, you want to do what's called a blended yield on your money. And what I mean by that is you just add all your interest up, divide it by the number of cards, and that lets you know exactly what the interest is costing you on the amount of money you're paying back. Now, I always inform clients, if you're making the bank more interest on the money than you're making on your money, the bank is not going to lend you money. The bank rule of thumb is generally they would like you to have at least 25% debt-to-income ratio when you go to sit down and talk to them. So when you say you're going to reduce your debt with a home equity line, sometimes we extend our debt versus reducing our debt and not thinking about the future in our plan. So we may decide to go do the home equity line and decide 5 years from now our kids are now out of school, we don't want to live in a particular school district and we want to move, but we owe so much money on the equity line, we can't afford to sell the house. So now we have this debt that, good thing is, it's a write-off for us on our taxes with the interest deduction, but for the long term, it keeps us in debt and stops us from saving. And anytime that you're extending your debt, longer than you're extending the opportunity to save, to not have to pay bills, that's generally not a good thing. It's all about crunching the numbers, and that's what the plan will do for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
What are capital gains exemptions on a primary home?
Well, on a primary home, if you sell this home, you have to move into another residence. if you occupied it, I think the rule is more than 2 years. That may have changed. But what a lot of people want to do is take the money, of course, that they've gained from the sale of the property, and if they don't reinvest it or they may not want to reinvest it, that's where your capital gains comes in. Because the IRS says there is a gain on what you sold. And anytime there's a gain there, you have to pay the tax on that gain.
Okay. What are the two keys to planning? The two keys to planning. What are they?
Well, the first key, and this is the biggest key, is to look yourself in the mirror and stop procrastinating. That's the number one reason people fail in their plan. They procrastinate. I'm going to get to it tomorrow. And I understand, I hear it all the time, it's a very morbid thing to talk about. Who wants to talk about death, disability, retirement, educating children? Those things are things we put off until we got to deal with them. So that's the first thing, stop procrastinating. And then the second thing is, once you start your plan, only way a plan works is you got to look at it. And when I say look at it, I won't work with a client if their client doesn't have a schedule for a review. And what we do with that is generally on your anniversary of your contract or your investment date, we got started with your plan, whatever that date is, you're notified a few weeks in advance that we need to sit out and review. Back when the market was dead in the lost decade we just came out of, the reason majority of the people that were losing money in their retirement accounts, their investment accounts, is because they never look at the statement and they never apply the statement to where they're at in their financial goals. So layman's terms, Fidelity sends you a statement. You see my name on that statement, or Tony's looking at that. Well, a lot of times, and this is what my dear friend who's going to heaven now that was a pastor would tell me, never let a man know more about your business than you know. And that's simple. Look at it. Have a plan that you're working with. If you see negatives, if you see a lot of fees and expenses, how do they all tie together to your goal at 55 or 60? And if you don't monitor that thing on a regular basis, it's fake. Don't procrastinate. Do your review, and you will come out. May not be financially secure if you don't have a lot of money to set aside, but at least if you start doing something, you'll be closer to your goals than most people who procrastinate and fail to monitor and watch their money turn out to be.
Okay. And not too long ago, a lot of people pulled their money out of the stock market when it started declining in value. When the stocks start declining in value, are they worth? Is that a good thing to do when people panic and they just start withdrawing? Is that good or bad when stocks start to drop? I mean, I would say it was bad, but.
Well, it's good and bad. Reason people panic is simple, because they don't know where things fall at in a plan. I hate to keep going back to that and stressing that so much, but if I have money invested in the stock market and all I hear is the market is going south and my friends that I know are investors, they're doing the same thing. Most people react, and I use this comparison, around the water cooler at work, when people set up their 401Ks, it's generally set up under one common denominator. Where did you put your money in, Sally? Well, I put mine in such and such. Oh, I think that's good for me. That's generally how it works. So generally when the market goes south, because none of these people around this water cooler know exactly what this money is going to turn out to be and why, if they stay in or get out, if they're good or bad, because nobody sat down and helped them understand what is their risk tolerance to what the market situations are. So if you don't understand that and you don't have a plan to apply it to, of course you're going to panic and you're going to jump out. Now it's bad. Now, if you have a plan to apply it to, the market's now done the exact same thing, then you can reposition your assets or let your assets ride because you know the ultimate goal that you're trying to accomplish. Hence, I stress again, got to have a plan.
Got to have a plan. You keep talking about that plan. So I'm getting it. I'm understanding.
Yeah. 1,700 clients a day. You got to have a plan.
Okay. A lot of, well, I'm not going to say a lot, but sometimes when you go to a financial planner or an investor, they don't tell you these things. So that's why I do the show.
Yes, ma'am. And the reason we don't share that with you, it's a simple one, and I can relate it to a foreman I had just this past Monday. A young lady was referred to me, and that's how all our business comes, through referred and blessing. And all she wanted to do was move her old 401k from a bank she worked for, now she's with a new employer, and just give me some ideas of where to put the money. In this appointment, I sat down, I showed her a comparison between an annuity and mutual funds, and I explained to both. I both work side by side. But at the end of the conversation, she was reluctant initially to even give me the interview because when we first sent out a confirmation for our appointment, we sent out a list of things, a budget sheet, an asset liability sheet. Tell me a little bit about what you're trying to do. And she just thought that was so overwhelming. Well, the reason most advisors just give advice off the cuff like that, because most people aren't willing to sit down and disclose all it really takes to do a professional job for them. And if we're not able to give you a full diagnosis, it's almost like you go to the doctor and you say, my back is hurting, but have you ever gone to the doctor where he's not checked your height, your weight, your blood pressure, look at your throat, listen at your heart, check your lungs? You never go without that checkup, do you?
Right.
And it's two reasons. Because he don't want you to sue him because there might have been something else, or he's not going to take a shortcut. And that's the same way you need to look at your money, the same way a doctor looks at you. You can't take a shortcut because there could be something else going on that's causing your back to hurt.
Okay. All right. Is there a certain percentage that that you would recommend a person invest, or is there just no such thing as a certain percentage? If somebody's just starting out, I mean, and also
the next question.
And the next question would be, should a person save also if they're investing and all that? Should they also have a savings account?
Okay. I answer the first part first. The percentage you should save, I recommend this paperback book that I've read for many years, and I refer all my clients to it. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. This is a biblically written book that teaches you that if you save 10% of what you earn, there's just no way you won't be financially secure. And I know that sounds like church, and they say in Malachi we need to put our 10% up. But I challenge my clients that if they will pay themselves first and not Macy's, Visa, American Express, the amount of money that you will save answers the second question. Should you have a savings account? In the financial plan, there is what's called an emergency reserve account. Now, most people use the rule of thumb and say, well, 6 to 9 months. But you don't really know what you need to save in an emergency reserve account if you don't sit down and look at all your assets and liabilities to see where they stack up to what you need to save. So, yes,
okay,
you should have an emergency reserve so you don't get overwhelmed with Visa and all those type of interest-bearing accounts that are taken away from your ability to have liquid assets and not have to go in to debt.
Okay, all right. What are some of the obstacles that you believe hinder people from investing? Obstacles that you have come across when you sit down with a person and they start telling you things like, well, I don't trust the stock market, things like that, and, you know, questions when they make statements like that. What are some of the things that would make a person think that I hinder them from wanting to invest?
Lack of knowledge, and we perish from that. We've not taken
lack
the time. It's lack of knowledge. We're not taking the time to read it, understand, or even when I do financial plans with people, I stress to them, I give them a draft plan first. I say, read your plan. If I come back next week to see you and you haven't taken and gone through that plan and don't have questions and haven't highlighted things and marked it up just like you're taking a test in school, I know you're not serious about your future with your money. The hindrance, the other part is, it's time consuming. We are on hustle bustle mode all the time. But we take our energy and we direct it at everything, the kids, work, family, church, everything, but we never stop and take time and really focus the greater majority based on statistics as to failure with finances. If you look at it and why so many people are in the shape that they are through this rough time in the economy, it's because the time that we have, we don't give it to ourselves in the media attention to our money. So when we get laid off work, we can't make it but to that next couple of weeks, or we got to get started on unemployment, because nowhere along the line did we find that we were important enough to pay ourselves first. We're the only one working for the money, but we give it away to everybody else, and then we don't have any idea of what balance to have, whether we have 25% of our money or 30% of our money going only to debt. Now we got another percentage that we can put into savings, and we got another percentage we put for long-term savings. We don't take the time to realize that until it's crunch time, and then we should have done it.
I understand what you're saying. As you know, we pay everybody, we help everybody. That's what you say. That's what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
And that's true. That's true. We don't pay, a lot of people don't pay themselves first. So, all right. I guess that concludes the show. You said you didn't have 30 minutes, and we went a little bit over. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Mr. Tony Hodge?
Well, one thing I'm asked all the time, what is my fee? I charge nothing. My practice was set up on Matthew 26. I just work a salary. God tasked me to do this, so we educate, enrich, and empower. So if you call on our firm, we'll do a full financial plan for you. If you choose to use our services, it'll be a blessing. If you choose not, we pass on the blessing to you. And we hope that you will pass the blessing on to somebody else, and maybe that person will call on us as well, and maybe we can help somebody else. And as a people, as listeners, we have to start being very serious about our money. We take it 2 lakhs a day to go, and we're the only person that gets this opportunity to derive it, build this pot up, take care of our children, see our generational wealth continue to amass and grow. And if we don't stop at some point and say our time is going to come, whether it be disability, retirement, or death, and start making the right provisions for it, our generation are going to be taught to fail, not just us, because our children's children are going to do what we have taught over time. I can be reached. My cell phone is always open, 678-480-8624. Again, 678-480-8624. Our website is financialbenefit.com, as well as we do a monthly newsletter. If you choose or just want to get on our newsletter blast, you can just send in your email address and you can be added. It goes out on the 5th of every month, and it generally covers anything that's current in the financial market, our marketplace. I appreciate your time tonight.
All right. Thank
y'all
you.
Be blessed.
Thank you, Mr. Hodge. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Listeners, you've been listening to Mr. Tony Hodge. Like I posted on Facebook, that he would be on the show. He's a financial Mr. Hodge is the owner of Financial Benefits Incorporated. The show today was entitled "It's Your Money." So I thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. As you know, the show is 7 days a week. As those of you who listen regularly, I thank you all for listening, and I hope this show benefited somebody, because I certainly learned something. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you
for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank
good
you for listening.
Good night.
Show Talk with Angela Butler. Good night, Mr. Hodge.
Good night.